We're going to turn in our Bibles now to Isaiah, and we're reading two passages that together illuminate more about the character of God, God who is sovereign. The first section is in Isaiah 14 and is verses 24 to 27, and then we will flip to Isaiah 45, verses 5 to 7. The first is a prophecy against Assyria, and these are hard words. The second is a prophecy that is spoken to God's people, but is about Cyrus, who is the leader of one of their enemy nations. A prophecy against Assyria. The Lord Almighty has sworn, "Surely, as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. I will crush the Assyrian in my land. On my mountains I will trample him down. His yoke will be taken from my people, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" And then we turn to Isaiah 45. "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." I'm going to invite Liz to come and bring God's word to us. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father, for Liz and for her careful preparation and listening in your presence over the last few weeks. Lord, we ask now that you would anoint her and fill her with your spirit, that she will bring your message, and we ask that you would touch our hearts as we listen. Amen.
So isn't it lovely when you plan something out and then there's the stuff you don't know that's going to happen? And what Stephen shared and how Helen led, it changes how you feel about what you've prepared as well, and that you've been doing it alongside other people. But the first thing I thought about when I was planning for today was about when I was younger, and I always think about our young people, and they're so thirsty. We've realised recently how thirsty they were. And it got me thinking about when I was younger, and you have all these plans, and then you do lots of debating, typically more when you're younger. So I was debating can we come up with our own plans? If God is all-knowing, free will versus predestination. And I loved that debate. And I, if you've not had it, I encourage it to be had. However, it actually missed the point. And when I started to realise that, for me, it took away the peace that it should give me, knowing that God's all-knowing, isn't taking away our free will and the plans that we have for ourselves. But it does give us that peace that transcends all understanding. And God wants us to trust him. He wants us to hand our lives over to him. He wants us to remove that ultimate pressure. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And for me, that pressure being off, that peace, it's something that you can't always fully explain. And back to the youth, when we were doing three big questions recently, they were asked, but the wonderful thing about working with youth, as you are also asked, can we prove God exists? And I hadn't thought about that. I'd had a very, very busy week. I hadn't thought about the questions before they'd come up. I knew what they were going to be. And so then I start scrambling in my head thinking, oh gosh, oh, I'd actually, let's think back to when I was good at apologetics and like, can you know, what can I prove? And I thought, how do actually, for me, my biggest proof that God exists is, even though I am the biggest worrier, I have this overwhelming peace about my life and about my future and about what he wants for me and his plans. And that's my, for me, that's my proof, and how fitting that it fits today. So it's not to say that things won't be hard, and I'm sure all of us in this room have experienced things that are hard and we can't explain them. But that peace is what will get you through those times, that there is an ultimate plan for us, and it's a good one. I'll come to that verse later. So the other thing I wanted to say about this peace is it's not an abstract sense of calm. So it's not a, like, la, 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 la. I don't do that with the kids. But it's not a peace that we're not ignoring what is happening in front of us, but it's trusting specifically what God has promised us in the Bible. And so one thing that got me thinking was, then we need to know his word if we can trust in it. In Psalm 56, it says, "In the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can man do to me?" There's so many promises in the Bible for us to hold on to. Some that I come back to time and time again. The worry passage, well, there's many, but there's one in Matthew that I've had to cling to throughout my life. And it's not an instant cure. None of the promises are an instant cure, but they should be our go-to when we feel our world is crumbling. And I've experienced the power of God in the darkest of times, and the kindness of God in the seemingly unimportant. He cares about the detail. And sometimes I just have to laugh, because we should pray about everything, every little thing. And it makes me laugh when sometimes he answers those prayers and I just think, you didn't even need to bother. Like, that was the most silliest thing. But he does. He cares about the detail. And he never fails. And he has no limitations. He's all-powerful, as we know. So a few things to have a think about. Everyone's experiencing different things in this room right now. But for example, if you've got a friend that is going through a really hard time right now and you just wish that they knew him so that they could lean on him, because then they would have the peace that you have, he can do this. Just keep praying for them. You're worried about your future. If you're worried about choices that you're making in school, or choices that you're making in work, he knows before you've even told him. So keep praying. He's got this. You might be in a really dark place right now, and you might see no way out of your current situation, but he does know, and he does want you to lean on him. Often we mistakenly lean too much on other people. So I need my friends and family. I'm an outward processor. I have to tell people my thoughts and feelings, multiple people. But this is not more important than handing it to God. People can become our idols if we're not careful. And if you're not careful, they will crumble under that pressure, the pressure that we put them under. But God doesn't crumble with anything we put on him. So what do we do when we are unsure where to go next, what path to take? We have to wait on the Lord. And in my experience, waiting is a very active thing. In James 5, it talks about the farmer that waits for the Lord whilst also attending his crop. And I remember having a discussion with my little brother when I was younger, and I felt I was like struggling to sit still about something. And he said, you don't have to sit still, you can carry on, but also praying and waiting on that peace. So we're not merely instructed to sit around always and wait for God to steer us in the right direction. We're a continuum of life whilst praying and keeping an eye on that peace. Often that peace or lack of can put us back on track. Whether you're in a group, so it got me thinking about situations that could happen at either school or work. So you could be in a group and one person's mean to another. That could be via social media, or it could be actually face-to-face. And you could decide to speak up, or you could decide to walk away. And linking that with work, I'm sure we've all experienced gossiping in the workplace, but we really should be distancing ourselves and making sure that we're not encouraging or party to those conversations. It got me thinking about Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So let's allow ourselves to be corrected by that inner peace. It's there for a reason. So we're going to watch a clip soon, which I quite like, and I'm sure that many of you have seen it before. So waiting patiently on the Lord, in the Lord, Romans 8 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. But we need to wait with our eyes open. So we'll watch this clip and then I'll explain.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you?
Talk back. Tell me what's going on.
What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. Oh, what's this Joker doing now? Okay. All right. I'll try it your way. All right. Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life. What the? Where are you?
I got you.
Sorry, don't know you. Wouldn't call you if I did.
So, if you haven't seen that film, there's a tiny bit of context there, but I think you get the gist. So, if we wait patiently with our eyes open, we have to be open to it. The signs or anything, our direction being something that we're not necessarily expecting it to be in that way, which he was not very good at. And all of this is because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are so loved, from the little things to the life-changing things. He wants the best for us. So my favourite passage is, and I always put this whenever people are getting baptised on their cards, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And when I was preparing, I found one of, if you've ever been fortunate enough to have an Emily Murfitt bookmark, they are like priceless. And this one that I found from one rainbow session was, I am a child of God. And what I love about it is it could have linked with anything I was doing, but it still made my heart happy. So he's got a plan for your life, and it's a good one. And so if something's not quite how you want it to be right now, then please go to him and talk to him about it. So the exciting thing now is, what are those plans? So it's time for us to tap into God's plans for you, if you haven't already. In Jeremiah, it goes on to say in verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are you willing to put him first in all things, removing all idols that are in the way? And that will be different for everyone in this room. But it means prioritizing time with him, time with his word. And we're very fortunate these days that there's multiple ways of doing that. I love that Isaac's in the room, because TikTok videos where you can make sure that you're getting content from different Christians, that really blessed me the other week when I heard that. Reading your Bible, listening to Christian songs that are filled with the scriptures, listening to podcasts, videos on various Bible topics, whatever way that we find to experience God's word, it's very beneficial to us, and it helps us with our inner peace. So to summarize, God has a plan for you. A plan that gives you peace, that transcends all understanding. He asks us to wait with open eyes and to trust in him. He wants you to engage with him. So my questions for you are, what part of your plan or plans do you need to hand over to God? That could be this week, could be this month, or it could be your wider future. And what do you need to do to trust God for today? You're going to listen to a song whilst we're doing communion. And I just wanted to pick out some of the words. It was played at our wedding, and we sang at our wedding. And part of the amazing ways that you can witness to your friends accidentally. But you can't not worship openly to this. So it's called Befriended. This will be my story. But two of the lines that stuck out at me were, surrounded, but I've never been so free, which links back to what I said at the start of, you know, do we have free will? We are so free, but we're free because of what God did for us. And we're also so surrounded, and they both are true. And so the final one is, up to us to move forwards, determined now to live this life for you. So are we determined to prioritize God and live our lives for him? Thank you.